Let me just start with the outline, if you've got the outline for the study. We started off with death, just the idea of the fact that there's fear there because it's really unknown. We have what the Bible has to say, but in reality, people haven't experienced it, and so they say, I don't know what to really experience or to expect. We all have had people in our family or people that we know that have died, and one great thing about it, as we said a while ago, victory is in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, and gives victory, and victory in all the kinds of death. Then we then looked at a definition of death, and we talked about death as separation, and we spent some good time looking at basically where did death come from, and we went all the way back to Adam and Eve, and when Adam sinned, death entered the world, and death passed to all people, because when Adam sinned, all of us sinned, and the wages of sin is death. Then we got into the third section. Here's where we're looking at the different kinds of death, and we started with spiritual, and last week we were just going to do spiritual, physical, eternal, and temporal, and we got really sort of stopped there at spiritual because we had a lot of questions and input on the idea of what we're like before we trust in Christ, and then what happens after we trust in Christ, and we see the difference there, and we'll talk about those. And then we might even get to the fourth part today, just according to the time that we have. We're going to begin to see God's provision, how that death is conquered. Spiritual death is conquered, physical death is conquered, eternal death is conquered, and even temporal death is conquered, and we'll see all that. And then we'll finally end our study, we'll talk about life after death. What happens when people die? I mean, there are all kinds of questions about this, and if you go to Luke chapter 16, this is we take the Bible in a literal truth here. You go to chapter 16, you find there's a place in the heart of the earth. The Old Testament was called Sheol, the New Testament calls it Hades. What happens when people die, both believers and unbelievers? Where do they go? What happens to their bodies? All of that, and then we'll sort of get a summary. After this study, and it shouldn't take us more than 2 to 3 more weeks, according to whatever input you want to have and all that, and then we're going to start a study on creation evolution, which should be kind of fun because we'll look at it from all different kind of ways and see how that all fits together. Well, if you remember, we're looking at the different kinds of death. And we said that there are four. There are spiritual death, physical death, eternal death, and temporal death. And we started last week with spiritual death. And what we find, if you look in Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 1. And remember, if you have a question or a comment, just raise your hand. I know in a big room like this, sometimes it's not as easy to raise your hand or to feel confident on doing that. But go ahead, because we don't want it just to be lecture. We want it to be input and talking back and forth. But in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." We realize that there's a spiritual death there, that we come into this world spiritually dead. If you remember in the garden when Adam and Eve were there, and God said to Adam, "In the day that you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what's going to happen to you? You're going to die." And literally in the Hebrew it says, "Dying you shall surely die." And I think it has an implication that there's going to be a spiritual death with the end result of physical death, because we know that the moment that Adam ate from that fruit, he died spiritually. There was fellowship broken between God. He was now dead in trespasses and sins, and he ran and hid. We know that it was not till 900 and something years later that he died physically. But we see that there is a spiritual death aspect. Notice he says, before we trusted in Christ, while we were in this world, it says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." We come into this world dead in sins. In fact, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "We don't understand the things of God." Now, here's the thing we talked about last week. When Adam sinned, he died spiritually. When we come into this world, we're not spiritually alive. We're spiritually dead. Do you have the chart we put up from last week? Let's just talk about it for a second. We talked about the parts of a person. We got on the left side, unbeliever, and the right side, the believer. I hope all of us in this room are on the right side of the chart, and that's one who has trusted in Christ. But look what it says. Unbeliever, when you come into this world, when a person is born into this world, they have a body that holds everything together. They have a soul, and the word soul literally is the Greek word is psuche, which we get psyche from it. It's sort of the part of us that relates to the world around us that has the mind, the emotion, the will. It doesn't relate to God, in a sense. It relates to people in this world. Then we have a conscience. We know after the fall, God told Adam and Eve, "Now that you know right from wrong." Inside of every person, according to Romans chapter 2, there is a part of us called the conscience where the Word of God or the truth of God is written on our hearts. We know right from wrong. Now, you can do wrong long enough, it doesn't bother you. That's just the way we're made. There are certain things right, certain things wrong, and if I continue to do something wrong, it's not going to bother me after a while because I do it wrong enough. I just cover it over. But there is a conscience, and then there's the part of us which is a natural bent to sin. It's called the flesh, and we'll have that to the day that we die physically. There is this flesh part that is inside as a natural bent to sin. If we think we're good people, We can do good things, but naturally we're sinful. Naturally we're of the flesh. So we have a body, a soul, a conscience, a flesh. And that's why when he says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, he's talking about spiritual death. When a person comes in this world, we are not spiritually alive. We don't understand the things of God. And so there is every human being born in this world, we are spiritually dead. Now, here's what happens when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. You have a human spirit. That's how we're going to list it. Some people get confused. This is what's called regeneration, being born again, born from above. A lot of people have been taught or always just assumed that when it talks about being born again, it's talking about the Holy Spirit or something. Well, the truth is the Holy Spirit does come and live inside of us, but what's born again is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's eternal. The Holy Spirit's God. What's born again is our, what we'd say, our human spirit, the capacity to know and understand God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says the natural man, the Greek word for natural there is soulish. The soulish man does not understand the things of God. Can't know them because we're dead in sin. So when we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, we're now born again. We're made alive. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creation. We're born again. Now, what's also amazing for us is that God actually gives to us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what do you not know? Your body is the what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. The word temple there means the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's kind of funny when people always say, oh, I love your sanctuary. I want to go, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Now, it's not. This is not a sanctuary. This is an auditorium. You're the sanctuary of God. The Holy Spirit dwells inside you who know Christ as Savior. So when they say, I like your sanctuary, you go, well, yeah, I've been dressing it up lately and it's looking good. But anyway, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. So that's we might say, the parts of the person. The unbeliever has the body, the soul, the conscience, the flesh, the natural bent to do wrong. The believer has the body, the soul, the conscience, the flesh, the human spirit, which is spiritually alive, now able to understand the things of God, and the Holy Spirit who actually indwells us and empowers us. Now, one thing you have to notice, there's still a battle going on. And that's why in Galatians it says, the flesh lusts against spirit, spirit against flesh, contrary one to another. There is a battle going on inside of every believer that you still have that natural bent to sin. In fact, you still want to sin. And the Holy Spirit's inside of you, convicting you in a sense and helping you understand the Scripture and empowering you to live according to the Word of God. So as a believer, you now have a battle that you didn't have. You have a battle to do what is right because you've got the natural bent to sin. You've got the Holy Spirit inside you who illuminates the Word of God and empowers you to live by the Scripture. You have the human spirit which relates to God, and so now you have this fellowship with Him that you really haven't been able to have before. And so that's what's going on. Now, before we move any further or anything, you got any questions or anything? Yeah, Paul.
Before Adam sinned,
No, best we can understand, his question was, before Adam sinned, did he have a flesh, a natural bent to do wrong? Best we can understand, he was created in innocence, that there he was, and there was the opportunity. Now, here the offer was, here's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He was to learn good and evil by doing good. He learned good and evil by doing bad. He didn't have a natural bent to sin. In a sense, best we can understand, then he became, that's the natural bent that carries on from Adam all the way down to every human being is a natural bent to sin. Well, we don't know about, we know he had a human spirit. We know he didn't have a conscience until he sinned because he didn't know right from wrong yet. So he had a body and he had a soul and he had, best we can tell, human spirit. There's nothing that tells us the Holy Spirit indwelled him because he was meeting with God day in and day out. So we had a body and a soul and a human spirit. Didn't have a conscience because he didn't know right from wrong. Didn't have the flesh because he had not sinned yet. So a little bit different. And then the fall came. And when the fall came, body, soul, conscience, flesh, God says, now that you know right from wrong, that's the conscience, do right. Well, we realize that you don't do right because you've got a natural bent to sin. What else? Any other questions or comments or anything about this? Yes. Right. Right. That's a great question. This is a question that's always or often asked. If we come into this world dead in trespasses and sins, What about children who die? What about babies who never are born? What about babies who are children, people who die before they even have an opportunity to accept or reject Christ? What about them? Well, we talked about this last time, and we believe by the grace of God, since Jesus Christ has already died for every sin of every human being, I believe by the grace of God that He takes those to be with Him, those who are not having the capability to accept or reject Him in that sense. And the closest thing we can get to that is where in 2 Samuel, or where David loses a son, and the little baby died, and they said, David, what about it? He said, well, he can't come back to be with me, but I'm going to go to be with him. And so that gives that impression. And there's a couple of other little places that talk about that. But there are people who don't hold to that. I see the grace of God in that way, and I see the grace of God because He's already paid for all sin. I see God as a gracious God, and when a person is not ever capable or able to believe or not believe, so to speak, that God in His grace takes them. That's how I look at it. What else? Okay. Mm-hmm. They were dead spiritually? No, the flesh was, and the conscience and the body and the soul, but not the... They're human beings coming to the world dead in trespasses and sins, spiritually dead. He goes on to say a little bit further in chapter 2, and he says, verse 5 says, even when we were dead in our transgressions, we were dead in sin, He made us alive. That's how He changed us. He made us alive spiritually. And like I said last week, some people have always thought that rebirth or being born again is the Holy Spirit coming to live inside you. No, being born again is you being made alive spiritually. Now, also by the grace of God, in our, you might call, age or dispensation or this time in the church, God puts the Holy Spirit in every believer. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you're not one of His. Now, the Holy Spirit is not always indwelt believers, and not permanently indwelt. Sometimes in the Old Testament, that's why David wrote in Psalm 51, take not your Holy Spirit away from me, because you could lose the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. It had nothing to do with salvation. In the New Testament, you can't lose the Holy Spirit. Once He's in, He's indwelling you. Yeah, Jerry. I think right then, yes. That's what I think happened, yeah. That's the way I look at it. When it says, dying you shall surely die, I think He died spiritually that moment. Human spirit died, and that's why He ran away. That's why His fellowship was broken with God, His relationship was broken with God, and then physical death resulted later. Physical death is always a result of spiritual death. People die physically because, as a human race, we're spiritually dead. Now, He's conquered it, and he's going to change it all, but there's that process. What else? Anything else? Yeah, Freddie. I think so. Okay, where? Dwells. Well, it doesn't really say. He's saying, does the Holy Spirit dwell inside the human spirit? Well, we know this, that the Holy Spirit indwells a sinful human being. Now, how and where and all that, it doesn't say. And you know, it doesn't. You know, we're almost, and I hate to say this, but we like compartmentalize. Okay, over here is my soul, and over here is my spirit, and over here, but it's not like that. The Bible calls us a body, soul, and spirit. We are a physical part and a spiritual part. One physical part, which is the body. The spiritual part is the soul and the spirit. That's how He calls it. Now, also inside of us is this flesh. The way Paul uses the word flesh, he's using it for this whole body, that as a human being, naturally, you're a sinner. Not like there's a little part of me that's a sinner, but that as a human being, I am naturally a sinner. That's how he uses it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Romans 6. Mm-hmm. Well, he says we died with Christ in the sense that we're dying to the victory of the flesh. That's what Romans 6 is dealing with. He's saying when Jesus died and rose again to a new life, we died and rose again to a new life so that we'd walk not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. His analogy there is that the power, because he uses the statement that, and he uses a marriage deal in chapter 7. He says, you know, as long as two people are married, they're bound to each other. But when one dies, then they're free from that, and they can go on and marry somebody else. That's his analogy. Well, in that sense, we were connected with the flesh, and when we died with Christ and rose again to a new life, he's saying that sin was crucified to us, we to it. So in a sense, he's saying, you no longer are connected with the flesh in the way that you were, so you don't have to obey the flesh. That's why he says, stop letting sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. Do not go on presenting your members of sin to unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness of God. He said, you got a choice now. You don't have to serve the flesh. Now, you can. And so that's the one thing, the best analogy that helps me is I used to work at Mississippi State for Coach Tyler, Bob Tyler. He was the head football coach. I was on the staff. If Coach Tyler said, go do this, I said, yes, sir. I had to go do it because I worked for him. That's like, let's say that's the flesh. But when I got a different job, that's the picture of I'm dying with Christ, rising again. I'm a new creation in Christ. The flesh, I no longer work for the flesh. I don't have to. I don't have to obey it. That's why he says, stop letting sin reign in your life. You don't have to. And that'd be like I'm working for somewhere else, and Coach Tyler calls me and says, I want you to come out to the practice field. Now, I could go. Well, I'm going to the practice field. But I don't have to. I don't work for him anymore. And that Romans 6 and Romans 7 passage, which we'll get someday on Sunday morning because we're studying Romans after Titus. When we get to that, bottom line, he's saying, you don't work for the flesh anymore. You don't have to obey the flesh. You were dead. Now you're alive. He doesn't have any capacity except the flesh, the conscience, the soul. Now, an unbeliever can do good works, but what are they called? Filthy rags. See, so there's nothing in an unbeliever that will somehow merit anything from God. So a person can't say, I'm going to do good works and then God will, you know, reward me and I get to go to heaven or something. No, it's filthy rags. But we have a conscience that tells us, an unbeliever knows right from wrong and can do right. That's in the fleshly power, and even his doing good and doing right in the fleshly power is filthy rags. It won't please God in that sense, but it's still right. Unbelievers can do right things. I mean, you know, I'm sure before you trusted in Christ, you ever do anything right? Sure you did. See, I've had people tell me, unbeliever's not capable of ever doing anything right. That is so messed up. From who? Well, we don't know. A conservative view would hold between 10 to 14,000. At short, we hold to a young earth. We'll see that when we get into creation and evolution. Well, probably the same number that's trying to live good right now. Yeah. So good, yeah, living good, never got it. You're right. You're right. But there are unbelieving people can live good lives. Yeah, I mean, do you know any unbelievers who live good lives? Sure, but is that pleasing to God and would bring salvation in any way, shape, or form? No. So they have a body, a soul. We are dead in trespasses. They cannot relate to God. They cannot understand God, and they can't really serve God. Yes. Mm-hmm. And they were what now? Okay. And they died. So here, let me see if I want to make sure I understand. You're talking to someone about Christ. The best you know, they never put their faith in Christ, and then they die. And the question is there another chance? Hebrews 9:24 says it is appointed to a man to die once, and after that, the judgment. I believe that a person has many, 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 many opportunities to put their faith in Christ until they die. And once they die, wherever they are, that's the way they are. There are all kind of things about, well, there'll be another chance here, another chance there. It's appointed to man to die once, and after that, the judgment. I don't think there are chances after death. Anything else? Did you have something? No. Okay. Now, this is how we are. when we come into this world, the first kind of death we want to talk about is spiritual death. We're spiritually separated from God. We can't really know Him. We can't serve Him. We have a body, a soul, a conscience, and a flesh. Now, it goes on in that passage, and we'll get this when we get into details, when we see how God conquered it all and how God has given us victory. But He gave victory over spiritual death because when we believe in Jesus Christ, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. He has made us alive. That means we are now spiritually alive. I put human spirit because that's the best way to think about it. Now we're spiritually alive, and we also have the Holy Spirit. I talked to some people after Sunday school last week, and some of them had said, in their lives, they had this conception that the Holy Spirit was what was sort of born again. And that's why I want to bring this out again, because the Holy Spirit's not born again. You are what's born again. Okay, any questions before we move on to physical death? Okay, now here's the second kind of death. We come into this world spiritually dead. Now we have physical death. Realize physical death is the separation from the body from the soul. Genesis 3:19, He said the consequences of Adam's sin would, he would die physically, and his body would go back to what? To dust. Dust you were and dust you gonna be. There's a physical death coming. I believe that goes all the way back to even to the beginning in chapter 2 when He said, in the day that you eat of that fruit, dying, you shall surely die. You're going to die spiritually. You're going to die physically. Physical death is a result of spiritual death. We are born in this world, and what happens, although it looks like we're doing fine, we get to a certain point and we begin to die. We begin to wear out. And we die physically. I think one of the reasons that there's a physical death is so that people can see plainly that there is spiritual death, that there's sin and there's separation from God, and that's why people die physically. All of us in this room, I'm sure, have been touched by some physical death, whether it's both my mother and my daddy have passed away, and I mean, it just breaks your heart, and I've done a lot of funerals, which I wish I'd never had to do a one. I wish nobody ever died. And yet, one of these days, physical death in itself is conquered. Now, it's already conquered by Jesus dying on the cross and rising again. But the aspect of physical death goes on until He comes and sets things right. We see in Romans chapter 8 that this whole creation groans and travails and everything until He comes and sets it all right. And there's going to come a time. There won't be death anymore. There will not be any death whatsoever. And human beings, now let me just say this, every human being is going to live forever. Every human being is going to live forever. When Jesus Christ conquered death, He didn't just conquer death for Christians or believers, He conquered death for every human being. Some people are going to live forever separated from God. Some people are going to live forever with Jesus Christ. So the second kind of death, yeah, Rick, okay. They get a body, best we could say would be a glorified body, or at least a body that never decays. Because see, they got to live forever too. So whatever it is, you know, we've always said glorified body. The Bible talks about how He's going to return and He's going to change this body like ours into a glorious body like His, and that's where we get the term glorified body. But we know that there's this we're going to see a body that will not see corruption. As in Adam all die, so in Christ shall what? All be made alive. So the best we can understand is every human being is gonna have a body that will never wear out. And it's going to be, you know, this body, except it'll be taller and have hair and not have to wear glasses and things like that. But the bottom line is everybody is going to have a non-decayable body, you might say. But we come into this world and we're already spiritually dead, and spiritual death leads to physical death. And we see it all the time. Just a town that's not, our town is not a very big town. All you have to do is take the Stillwater News Press, open it up every day, and there are four or five people that they have in the paper that died every day. If you think back to the children of Israel when they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, you know they were burying about 100 people every day for that 40-year time period. A whole generation, 2 million people. Genesis chapter 5 is called the death chapter because he then lists and he talks about, and this one died, and this one died, and this one died, and this one died. It just goes on and on and on and on. And I think the point is, do you realize there's physical death? So all of us, we've been touched by it. We come into this world spiritually dead. And let me tell you something. If something is not done, not only is there going to be is there spiritual death and physical death, there's the thing which we call eternal death, and that's the third death. Now, before I move to the third death, any questions or anything? Yeah, Paul. We're not sure. He's asked, what made Enoch and Elijah unique? Because Enoch was a man who walked with God. God took him and he was not. He never, best we can tell, he didn't die physically. And Elijah, the best we can tell, he never died physically because God sent a chariot down, picked him up, and took him off the face of the earth. No, they were righteous, meaning they had believed. But somehow in God's plan. Now, the real question, now, that if you really want to get theological about this, where did Enoch and Elijah go? Because the best we can understand, see, sin had not been paid for, is that correct? The wages of sin had not been paid for. Jesus Christ had not come. In fact, it's going to be about 700 years from Elijah or more before he ever comes to pay for sin. So where did Elijah go? Where did Enoch go, who lived a lot more years before? What happened to him? Because you can't go in the presence of God with sin in that sense. They didn't have the sin debt paid for. So most believe they still went to the heart of the earth, even though they didn't die physical death. So we don't know. And that's just something to think about. And then we'll talk about it. The third type of death is eternal death. The results of a spiritual death and a physical death is eternal death. When we come into this world, we're already dead spiritually. If something's not done, not only are we going to die physically, but we're going to die eternally. That means we're going to be eternally separated from God forever. Now, people have historically always said, well, that's when a person goes to where? To hell. That's what they say, hell. The Bible doesn't use the word hell, by the way. It uses lake of fire. If something's not done, we're going to be separated forever. Look at Revelation chapter 20. I just want you to turn over there quickly. In Revelation chapter 20, this is called the second death. They're talking about resurrection here in Revelation chapter 20, and he calls the first resurrection. First resurrection is basically anyone who is raised from the dead as a believer before the kingdom. Okay, unbelievers are not raised from the dead physically until after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Just want you to understand that. We'll go in more details when we get to the part about where do believers go when they die and where do unbelievers go. I'll show you some. We'll get some charts up there and we'll show this. But in this passage, he's talking about that the first resurrection are all those who had believed in Jesus Christ or believed in the coming Messiah, and they are raised from the dead to go into the kingdom. Notice verse 5. He says, the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were complete. This is the first resurrection. Then he says, blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. The second death is what we call eternal death or eternal separation from God. He's saying the believers, second death has no power over them because we're never going to be eternally separated from God. But those who have never believed in Jesus Christ are going to be eternally separated. Notice verse 14. He says, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. What is it? It's the lake of fire. Now just remember that. We have always said, you know, people go to hell. Well, that's a mistranslation from the Greek word Hades. Hades means the place of the dead. It doesn't mean the eternal separation place. So a lot of people, when they hear the word Hades, they think of hell. And sometimes you'll read in the Bible, it'll talk about cast into Hades or death in Hades will give up their dead. We're not talking about the eternal separation. Lake of fire is the eternal separation. Matthew 25 verse 41 says, he will say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed one, and to the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Now this eternal fire, which we call the lake of fire, which we call the second death, which we call eternal death, was prepared for who? The devil and his angels. But when man sinned and fell and then is in open rebellion against God, that place, mankind ends up in there. And that's what we find in Revelation. And look at verse 15 of Revelation 20, because this is the key. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the what? The lake of fire. How do you get your name in the book of life? You believe in Jesus Christ. So there is a spiritual death. There is a physical death. Physical death is a result of spiritual death. And then there is an eternal death or a second death or the lake of fire death. Okay? There's one final thing. I know the bell rang, so we've only got about 2 or 3 minutes. But let me just throw this one out, and then we'll really get the details next week. And I'll just stop at this second. You can have any questions you want. But there's a fourth kind of death we're calling temporal death. And we're using this for believers. Now, let's think for a second. You come into this world dead in sin. You're on your way to physical death. You're on your way to eternal death. But you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, and you go from being spiritually dead to being what? Spiritually alive. Are you still on your way to physical death? Possibly, unless Jesus Christ comes and gets you. There's going to be a whole generation of believers who won't die physically because he's going to come in the clouds and we're going to be taken out. And we all think it's us, right? Don't we? But every generation's thought it was them. Paul said he could come any second. Paul said, I'm looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing. Peter said, keep looking up. It's coming. So we think it's us. I hope it is. I got a feeling it is. Of course, everybody had a feeling it is, right? So we came spiritually dead, but now we're spiritually alive. We're on our way to physical death unless Jesus comes and gets us. Are we on our way to eternal death? No, never. Because in Jesus Christ, we have what? Not eternal death, but we have eternal life. Now, as a believer, as we walk on this earth, sometimes we do wrong. I mean, it's hard to believe that we do it, but we do wrong, right? Because the flesh lusts against spirit, spirit against flesh, we're contrary one to another, so that we may not do the things that we want. So sometimes we sin. Now, when we sin, there's a difference between being in a relationship with God and being in fellowship with God. A relationship comes by faith in Jesus Christ, and it's an eternal relationship. Fellowship comes by being in the same ship. Two fellows in the same ship is fellowship. Means we're walking with him. What happens when we sin? We get out of the ship, right? We break fellowship with God. We're going to find from the scripture when we look next week that when you break fellowship with God, when you sin as a Christian, you die. We're calling it temporal death. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says that when you walk in the flesh, you must die. And he's not talking about eternal death. He's not talking about a spiritual death that we've already been made alive. He's talking about what we call a temporal death. Because we call it temporal. Why? Because what do when we sin and we get out of fellowship with God? We confess. Because, see, we're dead now. We're temporally dead because sin always brings death. And so when we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us, and we're back into fellowship, and now we're alive in that sense. We're not talking about spiritually alive. That happens and that's forever. And we're not talking about any kind of eternal death or any of that. We're just talking about a temporal death, and we'll get details on that next time. Any questions, comments? I think we have, about another minute? I don't know. The second bell hadn't rang yet, has it? Right. There have been people in every generation who believe that he's coming and they get off by themselves or they save up a certain amount. They just say he's coming any second, so we're not going to do normal life. We're just going to get right here and wait for him. The thing about it, what he says in 1 Thessalonians, because 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians both deal with the return of Jesus Christ, and what he says is keep working till he comes. Keep serving him till he comes. And so we don't separate ourselves off and live off in a little cave somewhere saying he's going to come any second, because he could come any second. What we do is take the gifts, talents, and abilities he's given us and serve him until he gets here. Okay, I think time's up. All right, we'll get into temporal death next time, and then we're going to see how God has conquered all of those four deaths, and that's the great thing. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks for a great day. Thanks for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.